Good morning, everybody. Agud Mechadish. We'll be starting Maseches Avos. Different commentaries give different suggestions why this Maseches is called Avos. Usually we translate it the ethics of our fathers, and we assume that the Avos, the fathers, are the Tanoim who seem to have developed these ideas. The Vilna Goins, commentary, so to speak, what's called the Bir HaGro, Maseches Avos is not really a commentary. It's like the Bir HaGro and Shulchan Aruch. Bir HaGro and Shulchan Aruch doesn't have any comments. He just gives Mar Mekaymus. The Vilna Goin was a descendant of the one who wrote the Bir HaGoyla on Shulchan Aruch, which is Mar Mekaymus. But the Bir HaGoyla just gives you Mar Mekaymus. What's the source of every sif? The Bir HaGro is assuming that you're reading the Bir HaGoyla, and he's adding more Mar Mekaymus for every phrase, every line in the Sif and the Shulchan Aruch. So here also, the Bir HaGro is not really a commentary. He just gives Mar Mekaymus. He shows you the source in Tanakh for each one of these ideas. He assumes that these ideas are not ethics of the fathers, ideas that were developed by these Tanoim, whose names are mentioned in the Mishnah. It's rather everything appears in Tanakh. Rashi, in his commentary on Gemara Bava Kamma, those who remember learning Bava Kamma in their youth will remember that Bava Kamma begins Arba Ovis Nezikin. So, Shor Bor Mava and Heber. Why are they called Ovis Nezikin? So Rashi writes, Ovis Kore Lahanach Tichsivim Behed Yubikro. Those that are explicit in Chumash, Shor Bor Mava and Heber, are explicit in the Chumash. Then you have told the Shor, you have told the Bor, you have told the Eish. You have all the toldos. The toldos are the things that are not explicit in the Chumash, and the Avos are the things that are explicit in the Chumash. So that's the premise of the Bir HaGro Pirkei Avos, that everything in Avos is explicit in Tanakh, not in Chumash, but in Tanakh. So the Vilna Gaon will always quote the Mar Mekaymus, usually a Mishle or Tehillim or Koheles, or sometimes from Chumash, the sources for each one of these ideas. The question begs itself, if these ideas appear in Tanakh, and that's why we call them Avos, so why does the Mishnah mention the names of all of the Tanoim, as if they developed these ideas? So Rav Soloveitchik said over in the name of the European Darshanim that the Mishnah has an expression every so often. The Mishnah will say, in Pirkei Avos, it'll say, it says the name of the Tana, he was a student of so-and-so, then it'll say, he used to say, take for example, by Shmuel HaKotnan says, "Benefola yivchal tismach." So the commentary says that's a pasuk. What do you mean, "Hu hayoymer"? As if he composed the pasuk, "Benefola yivchal tismach." So the answer is no. "Hu hayoymer" means when people looked at him, they saw from the way he functioned, he was a living representation of this idea. Not that he formulated the idea. All of these ideas appear in Tanakh. But these different Tanoim used to lead their lives in such a way that everyone would look at them and they would see this Musa Haskel. Hu HaYama means his essence. Not that he used to say with his lips. His essence, the way he acted all day long, would indicate, would demonstrate this style, this idea that appears in Tanakh. Many of the commentaries on Chumash divide all the mitzvahs into two categories: mitzvahs ben adam la'mokam, mitzvahs ben adam la'chavero, tzitzis and tefillin and shofar and sukkah ben adam la'mokam. Then you have hashavas aveda and gemilas chasadim and many others are ben adam la'chavero. So the quote from the Vilna Goin, we don't have so much written by the Vilna Goin himself. He wrote the commentaries on the Kabbalah Svarim. He wrote himself, and the Bir HaGro and Shulchan Aruch, he wrote himself. But most, the overwhelming majority of what we have in the name of the Vilna Goin was written by the listeners, written by the Talmidim of the Gro. So the it's quoted in the name of the Vilna Goin that really the mitzvah should be divided into three categories: Ben Adam LaMokam, Ben Adam LaChavera, and Ben Adam LeAtzmo. Person should act with midas tovus, that's a shibud bein adam le'atzmo. What do you mean, bein adam le'atzmo? It's the mitzvah v'halachta b'drachav. We should go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should imitate the ways of God. Why should we imitate the ways of God? Sometimes a little child, a little girl will imitate her mother, She'll make believe that she's a mommy, so she'll put on high heels and she'll put on a big bonnet, and she'll scream at the younger children and give musa. Someday she will be a mommy, so she's acting like a mommy now. Or sometimes a little boy makes believe that he's a doctor, so he'll take your blood pressure, he'll take your whatever. He'll use a stethoscope, act like a doctor. Someday maybe he will become a doctor. Why are we supposed to imitate the ways of God? There's a havamina. There's a chance that God will retire and we're going to take over. Why should we imitate the ways of God? So the answer appears in the next pasuk in Chumash. That pasuk of Halach the Bedrochav is in Parshas Kisavai. So it says, "Ro kalami ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikra lecha v'yorim imeko," that the Jewish people are supposed to serve as an or lagoyim. That's what the Nabi Yeshayah says. And the Gemara tells us that in Megillah that every idea that appears in Navi and the Vim Aksuvim must appear in Chumash as well. So where does this say in Chumash that the Jewish people are supposed to serve as Or Lagoyim? So the Pashup Shat is that it says it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, B'ni Bechor Yisrael, the Jewish people are the Bechor. That means that usually the firstborn child helps the parents raise the other children. So Klal Yisrael is supposed to be the Bechor, is supposed to be an Or Lagoyim, supposed to help the Rebbeinu Shel Olam raise all the other nations of the world. We should be an Or Lagoyim. But perhaps even more explicit is this pasuk that says in Parshas Kisavah, V'halachta Bedrachav, we should imitate the ways of God, go in the ways of God. Why? Because we were all created, B'Tzelem Elokim. So Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us, we believe in God, and we believe God created man and the whole world, and we believe that God created man, B'Tzelem Elokim. That's why we have to show respect for other human beings, Jews and non-Jews, because all people were created B'Tzelem Elokim. That's the simple reading of the Mishnah later in Pirkei Avos. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, Chaviv Nisa Shenikru Banim Lamakim. All human beings are created B'Tzelem Elokim. B'nai Yisrael have an extra degree. Chaviv Nisa Shenikru Banim Lamakim. Some of Farshim learn on the Mishnah Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem only refers to Adam Arishan. That's how the Kuzari writes. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi writes in the Kuzari, Adam Arishan was created B'Tzelem Elokim. Then he had a few children. So the Tzelem Elokim only was transmitted to Inyan Eloki, he calls it. Inyan Eloki, the Tzelem Elokim, was only transmitted to one of his children. And then that child, Adam Shesen Eshkena Mahalalel, the opening Pasuk in Dibri Ayamim. So the Tzelem Elokim, the Inyan Eloki, was only transmitted in the earlier generation. Only The Tzelem Elokim, Esav ben Genan, Yaakov was Midas Shema, means children. By Lubavitch, Midas Shlomi, means all the other people, and Midas Shlomi. Okay. He's taking care of it. Okay.
Make it bigger.
We can hear Abby now.
The screen.
So the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi has an unusual understanding of this Mishnah. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem refers to Adam Rishon. It doesn't refer to all mankind. But we usually don't understand like that. We usually assume that all human beings were created B'Tzelem Elokim. And that's why there's a chi of a Kavod HaBrios. Not Kavod HaBrios because he's a brilliant professor or he's a wonderful person. Because he has Tzelem Elokim. We have to show respect for all human beings because we believe in God. We believe God created man, B'Tzelem Elokim, and by showing respect for human beings, that's indirectly demonstrating that we believe that God created man, B'Tzelem Elokim. That's what the Meiri has in his introduction, the commentary on Mar. It's a medrash. Were written one to five on one of the luchas in 6 to 10 on the other one. Not all of the opinions in Medrash, like others say that all 10 were written on all four sides of each of the but we have a lot of times you have a Sarasad, there is 1 to 5 on one loch and 6 to 10 on the other loch. So the Miri quotes a Medrash that the 6 is parallel to 1 and 7 is parallel to 2. There's a connection between 6 and 1, between 7 and 2. So mitzvah 6 is Lysirtzach in Aseres Adibris. The first of the Aseres Adibris, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Parallel to that, on the other luach is Lysirtzach. We believe that God created man, Mitzelem, Elokim, and that's why there's a din of Lysirtz. That's why the din of Bin Adam Lachver. So again, so the name of the Vilna Goyim, they quote that that there are really three camps. He quotes the Gemara in Baba Kama. The Gemara makes three statements. Hayman de boy lemevi chasida. One who wants to be a chassid should be careful in which area. So one opinion is lekmili dinazik. You should be careful in Beit Adam Machaveras. The other opinion is lekmili bibrochas. You should be careful in the area of Ben Adam Lamakim. And the third opinion is the Kai Mili the Ovis, you should be careful in the area of Ben Adam Liatzma. So this mitzvah Ben Adam Liatzma is a mitzvah of Halachta Bedracha. We should imitate the ways of God because the next pasuk says the Jewish people are supposed to serve as Orla Goyim. We are the Bnei Bechori Yisrael, like the oldest child helps the parents raise the other children. So the Jewish people are the Bechor. We're supposed to show the nations of the world. We're supposed to be Orla Goyim. Show the nations of the world how to act properly. So the pasuk continues, "Varoka alami ha'aretz," when all the nations in the world will see the look at the Jewish people, and they will see kishem Hashem nikra alecha, that we have succeeded in preserving our tzelem alekim by going v'halach to bedrachav. So then the pasuk says, "V'yaru me'mekra."
Can Rabbi switch to using the phone?
This area demonstrating the the prime minister should be under investigation. So chief probably should be in prison. And we haven't succeeded.
One second.
Oh, how do I mute this? Okay. So the Vilna Gaon is quoted as having explained that there are three areas of mitzvahs, Ben Adam Lamokam, Ben Adam Machaver, Ben Adam Liatzmo. And the mitzvah, Ben Adam, that's what much of Pirkei Avos is about Ben Adam Liatzmo, Midas Tevos. And that's all based on the Pasuk V'Halachta Bedracha. We should imitate the ways of God. Why? Because we were all created by Tzelem Alekim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to preserve that Tzelem Alekim, and we hope that the Ummah Sa'ilam should see, should learn from us, how they should also preserve their Tzelem Elokim. V'ro'o kalami ha'aretz, all the nations of the world should see, kishem Hashem nikra alecha, we have succeeded in preserving our Tzelem Elokim. V'yaru mimecha, the Ummah Sa'ilam will learn from us, how they can act with Yira Shamayim also. V'yaru mimecha, that's how the Vilna Goyen explained Pashup Shat in that Pasuk. Yeah, why is this Masecha Sovis and Seder Nezikin? Seder Nezikin is all about mazik, choivon, mazik, halvois, monetary obligations. Why was Nezikin put here? Why was Pirkei Avos put here? So the Rishonim explain that the Midas Tevis, it's more important that the Rabbanim and the Dayanim have to have Midas Tevis, because all the people in a generation to the religious leaders. And if the religious leaders are going to be missing in this area, they're going to be weak in this area, so all the whole generation will be like that. So that'll be a disaster. So the Rabbanim and the Dayanim have more of an obligation to be careful about all of these midas than everybody else. The Bartanura in his commentary has a famous comment. He says that why does the Mishnah begin Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai? Why does it begin Perkei Avos like that? That should really be in the beginning of Maseches Brachas. When you start all the Shisha Sidre Mishnah, we should write that we believe that the Torah is Min HaShemayim. We believe in Torah Shabbal Peh Min HaShemayim. And here goes, and we start with Zroim Moed, Noshim Nezik, and Kach Mentaris. Why punked over here and others? So he explains that other nations also have had philosophers and thinkers and ethicists who developed ethical ideas and wrote books on ethics. So one might have thought that the rabbis in the days of the Tanaim, the rabbis are the ones who came up with these ideas. That's how people usually assume. Pirkei Avos, ethics of the fathers, thinking that the fathers are the Tanaim who developed these ideas. So that's why we start off Pirkei Avos saying, no, all of this is L'moshe Misinai. Torah Min HaShemayim is not only Bin Adam L'Makayim, and not only mitzvahs Bin Adam L'Chaveh, right? The mitzvahs Bin Adam L'Atzma, the ethical mitzvahs, are also Min HaShemayim. We have a Masorah. Our Masorah is not only how to interpret Psukim and Chumash, but how to act also. Attitudes are also included in the Masorah. Masorah is very important. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out there is a Machlokes, the Rambam, and the Ravid, and Hilchos Shmita, the Yovel, the Gemara, and Erechen, and in the Dorim, and other places. The Gemara quotes a Machlokes Hatan Army regarding the Psukim in the beginning of Parshas Behar. Torah says that when we come into Eretz Yisrael, so the first 14 years there was no Kedusha Sa'aretz yet. After Yeshua ben Nun crossed over the Yarden, so it took 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael, Sheva Shekobshu, that says in Tanakh. And then we have an oral tradition that it took Sheva Shechilko, it took another 7 years till they completed the dividing of the whole Eretz Yisrael. First they had to divide it among the Shvatim, then within the Shvatim they had to divide it among the Mishpachas. Then among the Mishpachas had to divide it to Yechidim. Which individual gets this plot of land? Who gets that plot? Who gets this house? Who gets that house? There were houses there that the Nochrim had built, and they ran away. They left their houses empty. So they had to divide Eretz Yisrael. So the Kedusha Sa'aretz didn't begin till year 15. First 14 years after Yeshua ben Nun crossed over the Yarden, Eretz Yisrael didn't yet have any Kedusha. So Shemitah, the Yovel, Lekachik, Chorpeo, Trumas, and Mises, all those dinim didn't apply. Chala did apply, the Gemara says, because the Pasuk reads, B'vayachem el ha'aretz, as you'll be coming into Eretz Yisrael, even before Eretz Yisrael had Kedusha, B'vayachem el ha'aretz, as already a chiyav chala. And the Gemara says, in the Baisheni, there were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael, but there was no chiyav chala in HaTorah. That's how we assume. The Gemara in Ksuv is Davchot Beis, because there was a lack of Bias Kulchem. So all the mitzvahs atliyas ba'aretz were perhaps noig min ha'Torah. Leket shikhapeh and some was noig min ha'Torah by Sheni. Trumas ha'maisus, that's a question. We pass on like the Rambam, Trumas ha'maisus was only the Rabbanon, a different reason. And Shemitah also was only the Rabbanon. But leket shikhapeh was the Raisa. And Chala was only mid the Rabbanon because there was a lack of Bias Kulchem. Chala is not exactly the same as the others. So the Gemara says year number 15th year was really year number one for the Shemitah cycle. So every 7 years is a Shemitah. After 7 times 7, 49 years. So the 50th year is Yovel. It wasn't the 50th year after they crossed over the Yarden. It was the 64th year because the first 14 years didn't count. They started counting year number one for the Shemitah Yovel cycles was really the 15th year. And then some Mela, year 64 was the first Yovel. So the Gemara has a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is you always count 7, 7 li'olam voed, and when you observe Yovel, that's the first year in the next Shemitah cycle. The Yovel year is not a blank year; it's the first year of the next Shemitah cycle. And we don't paskan like that. We paskan like the Chachamim that the Yovel year is a blank year, and it pushes off the counting of the next Shemitah cycle. So you don't count 7, 7 li'olam voed. You count 7, 7 till 49. Then you have a blank year of Yovel. Then you count 7, 7, 49. So you really count 50-50. Fine. So the Rambam writes that he thinks that that din should apply even b'zman hazeh. We should count 50-50. And even though we don't observe Yovel at all, because the pasuk says in Chumash, across from Dror Ba'aretz, L'chol yoshveha, thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. That's the pasuk that's on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. And the Gemara in Erechin understands l'chol yoshveha b'zman shekol yoshveha aleho. The mitzvah of Yovel only applies when the majority of the world Jewish population resides in Eretz Yisrael. So in the beginning of the Baisheni period, it was a small fraction, way less than 50% of the world Jewish population lived in Eretz Yisrael. So they weren't going to observe Yovel, but nonetheless, the Gemara says that they counted Yovel as a blank year to push off the next Shemitah. So the Rama thinks the same should apply Bizman Hazeh. We shouldn't count 7-7 Leon Avod, we should count 50-50. And even though we're not observing the mitzvahs of Yovel, but we should declare the Yovel as a blank year to push off the observance of the next Shemitah. So the Rambam writes, he thinks that's the din, but he says the Gonim who lived in Eretz Yisrael, Rambam says he lives in Chutz Lortz. He lived in Egypt when he wrote the Mishnah Torah. So the Rambam says, but the Gaonim, the heads of the yeshivas who lived after the days of the Amoraim in Bavel, so they were Rabbanan Savarai, then they were Gaonim. So the Gaonim were the heads of the yeshiva. The yeshiva was called the yeshiva's Gaon Yaakov, the pride of the Jewish people. Gaon means pride. So in the head of the yeshiva, the fundraiser was called Rosh Yeshiva's Gaon Yaakov. Some of them were Talmid HaChachan, and some of them were fundraisers. Some of them were not successful learning and not successful in fundraising either. But the famous ones, but Taka very strong in learning. But not all of them were so into learning. So the Rambam writes, the Gaonim who lived in Eretz Yisrael didn't count 50-50. Their tradition was we count 7-7. So even though the Rambam thinks it absolutely doesn't make any sense, he says you should not follow my opinion. We should follow the Masorah, because the tradition, how we observe the mitzvahs, plays a very significant role in establishing what the Psak Halacha is. So since this was the tradition in Eretz Yisrael, they always, after the Churban HaBayis, they counted 7-7. They didn't count 50-50. That's what we should do. The Ravid, who often has Hasogas on the Rambam, disagrees, and he says, wrong. We should follow the Rambam Shita. You shouldn't follow the Gaonim. So Rav Soloveitchik said that to the best of his recollection, this is the only place where there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam paskin is a halacha against the Rambam. And the Ravid says, no, the Rambam is wrong. You should paskin like the Rambam. You shouldn't paskin. The Rambam says we should not follow his opinion. We should follow the tradition from the Gaonim that he counts 7-7. So the Ravid says, no, follow the Rambam. It's an interesting. So the Rambam writes over there that Masorah, the tradition of the way we observe the mitzvahs, is a very crucial. The Rambam very often disagrees with the Gaonim. He disagrees with the Gaonim if it's a mitzvah that was observed all over the world. He observed it in Egypt like they observed it in Eretz Yisrael. But he says here, the laws of Shemitah are only observed in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't apply in Chutz Lortz. So those who observed it all lived in Eretz Yisrael, and their tradition was to count 7-7. So he says over here, we should follow the tradition, even though we have kashas. What's the teretz of the kashas? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has in his sefer, and others give. They explain why it's not such a difficult kash. So it's interesting. The Mishnah gives the Seder HaMasor to L'Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. The Rambam, in his Hakdamah to Mishnah Torah, as well as his Hakdamah to Mishnayis, gives you the whole Seder HaMasorah till the days of Rabbi Nevravashi. The Meiri, in the beginning, Rabbi Nevravashi, by the end of the period of the Amoraim, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, around Daf Tevav, has an expression, there was a Sefer Shalad Marishan. The Gemara there in Bava Metzia, and Daf Tevav, comments on the Pasuk and Parshas Bereshis. This Sefer told the Sodom. So it sounds as if the Chumash is telling us. This Sefer told the Sodom as if the Chumash is a book of the history of mankind. Book of the history of mankind, very poorly written. It has Emukdam and Milcha Batorah. Everything is out of chronological order. And a lot of things are missing. How can it be that the Chumash was intended to be a book of the history of mankind? So the Gemara says it does mean that. Zeh Sefer told the Sodom is a reference to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam Rishon dar dar b'dorshot, dar dar b'chachamav, Dar Dar V'Sofrov, the Rabbanu Shalom Shor Adam Arishan, how the history of mankind will develop over the years, how the Torah will be developed over the years, and the Gemara quotes, snatches lines from that Sifro Shor Adam Arishan. Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam is not referring to the Chumash, that the Chumash is a book of the history of mankind, but it's referring to the Sifro Shor Adam Arishan, the Sefer that the Rabbanu Shalom showed Adam Arishan when he created him, and he showed him what's going to be the history of mankind. So in that book, Sifra Shel Adam Rishon, it says, Ravina Ravashi Sof HaRoa, Ravina Ravashi with the end of the period of the Amoraim, that's going to be the Sof HaRoa, the end of the period of Paskin and Shilin. So Roa means the Paskin Shilin. Why is it Sof HaRoa? What, no one's learning anymore? People still keep on learning, even after the days of Ravina Ravashi. You had the Gaonim, you had the Rishonim, the Achronim. We're still learning today. So, and the Rambam only writes the Seder HaMasori has 40 generations from Moshe Rabbeinu till Ravina Ravashi, and he stops at Mem. He stops at the 40th generation. The Rambam probably could have continued the tradition from Ravina Ravashi till his own time, but he didn't. And the Iri, the beginning of Pirkei Avos, continues. And he gives you the whole Seder HaMasorah till his generation. He got the Torah from his Rabbeim from their Rabbeim, and he continues the whole list. How come the Rambam only wrote the Seder HaMasorah till Ravina Ravashi? So my father told me in the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik that Rashi writes in a few places in the Gemara that when the Gemara says Rabbi Yudah Anasi edited the Mishnayos, what it means was that until the days of Rabbi Yudah Anasi, there were loads of brises floating all over the place, and people were reciting brises bal peh, orally, because Dorim Shebal Peh, Torah Shebal Peh, was supposed to remain bal peh. It wasn't supposed to be written down in a sefer, and people should learn from the book. Torah Shebichsav was intended to be bichsav, and Torah Shebal Peh was intended to be transmitted bal peh. The Rambam writes that they always had private notes. Whenever they would hear a chiddush, they would write it down to make sure they shouldn't forget it. But when they would teach the Torah to the next, to the students, to the next generation, they wouldn't teach by reading a text like we do today. We read a chumash, a Tanakh, or we read a gemara, the Shulchan Aruch inside, and we give a commentary on it. So that's not supposed to be like that. When you transmit Torah Shebichsav, when the Baal explains Torah Shebichsav, we're supposed to read every word mitoch haksav. And when a Rebbe is transmitting Torah Shebal Peh, the mitzvah Bishlei Musa is to transmit the Torah Shebal Peh, Bal Peh. In a later generation, the Gemara says that they saw the whole Torah will be forgotten. If they're going to leave it like that, the Torah Shebal Peh is going to be transmitted Bal Peh, it'll turn out everything will be forgotten. So they invoked the Pasuk, Eslasos Lashem, Eferet Teresecha. So they wrote down the Mishnayos and the Gemara, and now we give shiurim mitoch haksav, we read it inside. It doesn't mean that we're in violation of an avera, dvarim shebal peh, yatav ha-shalim. It doesn't mean that you're not allowed to do it and you're violating an avera. The pashtus says that it doesn't mean that. It means that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not being fulfilled b'shlei musa, because we're not transmitting Torah shebal peh, bal peh, we're transmitting it mitoch haksav. But that was a decision that they made, that it's better to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah Shalom Bishlei Musa, then to fulfill the Bishlei Musa with the concern that the whole Torah Shabbat Pen may be forgotten. So the question is, when Rabbi Yudah Anasi edited the Mishnayos, everybody had brises floating around. So he decided which to codify, which to canonize, which brises should be incorporated in the official text of the Mishnayos, and which you don't need to be in the Mishnayos. Not necessary. So did he write down the Mishnayos at that time, and everybody was reading mitoch haksav or not? So Rashi writes in a few places in his commentary on the Gemara that Rabbi Yudah Anasi edited the Mishnayos, that it was written down, and from that time on, they were teaching the Mishnayos mitoch haksav. And most of the history books and most of the Achrenim assume, not like Rashi, most assume that Rabbi Yudah Anasi edited the Mishnayos. He decided which brises to be incorporated, which to canonize, which should be included in the official text of the Mishnayos, or which not. But the Mishnayos was still being recited, even after the days of Rabbi Yudah Anasi, Mishnayos was still being recited bal peh. They were not written down till the days of Ravina Ravashi. Ravina Ravashi wrote down, because he saw Eslas Lashem The whole Torah Shabbat Peh will be forgotten. So they decided to write down the Mishnayos, even though Ravina and Rav Ashi were the ones who edited the Talmud Bavli, but they didn't write it down. It wasn't written down until deep into the days of the Gaonim, quite a few generations later, when they realized the Gemara will be forgotten. How can you commit all the Gemara to memory? It's impossible. That's why, so in the days of the Gaonim, there was a big dispute whether they should write down the Gemara or not. So finally, those who insisted that we should write it down prevailed. And it's a mazel that they wrote it down. Otherwise, everything would have been forgotten. That's why every so often you have two girsos in the Gemara, Ika D'Amri. You have two versions of what Ravina Rav Ashi said. How can you have two versions if Ravina Rav Ashi were the ones who wrote down the Talmud Bavli? So they should know what they said. The answer is no, it wasn't written down until generations. In the days of the Gaonim, and the reason why they wrote it down is because there's so many variants already, so many different versions of who said what, of what the psak was, so that's why they thought they had it written down. So the Torah Shabbat, so Rav Moshe Soloveitchik explained, the Torah Shabbat Peh was supposed to be transmitted from generation to generation, Baal Peh. There was, the Pashtus is, that there never was an Iser to write down Torah Shabbat Peh. Doesn't mean you're not allowed to write it down. It means you shouldn't transmit it from Rebbe to Talmud, from generation to generation. The mitzvah b'shleimusa of Masorah, of Torah Shabbat Peh, is if the Torah Shabbat Peh is transmitted Baal Peh, you shouldn't give it b'ksav. So from the days of Ravina Rav Ashi on, that they were teaching Mishnayos, the Talmud Bavli was not yet written down until later. But that's during the lifetime of Ravina Rav Ashi, that's when they wrote down the Mishnayos, and that's when they changed the whole style of learning, that the Shir was no longer transmitting halachas Baal Peh, but rather reading the text from a sefer, from a written sefer. The Mishnayos were in a sefer. So the Masorah of the Torah Baal Peh was on a lower level. So that's why we say Ravina Rav Ashi so far raw. One who lives after the days of Ravina Rav Ashi cannot disagree with the Psak HaMekubal from before the days of Ravina Rav Ashi. Truth of the matter is, from the days of Yeshua Ben Nun till the days of Ravina Rav Ashi, everyone had the right, anyone who was Roy Lohai Roa, one who is knowledgeable and learning, was entitled to express his opinion in Halacha. If he knew Kola Torah Kula, he would be entitled to express his opinion, even if it's a disagreement with those who preceded him. And strictly speaking, we assume that even Amoraim have the right to disagree with Tanoim. That's the opening Rambam in Hilchas Mamrim. The Rambam quotes the Pasuk in Chumash, Abbas al HaShefer Tushayiyah B'yamim Ha'em, Yiftach B'dora Kishmol B'dora. In every generation, the Talmid HaChamim would paskin the way they understood the halacha is, even if they knew that it was in disagreement with those who preceded them, who were greater than them. The halacha that you can only ain bezn yochel levatl divi bezn chaveroi, and ken godel hemene b'chochma v'minyan, means a later bezn cannot repeal a rabbinic enactment that was introduced in an earlier generation unless the later bezn is greater b'chochma v'minyan. That means to repeal a rabbinic enactment. But if they're arguing what the din derais is, how to understand the chumash, so then the pasuk says, the Rabbanim in every generation have the right to paskin. And the Gemara tells us that at the beginning of the Bayi Sheni period, there was only a 70-year gap in between the Churban Bayis Rishon and the beginning of the Bayi Sheni period. So they were old-timers who remembered the way they did Nisuch HaYayin for 410 years in the Bayis Rishon. Bayis Rishon lasted 410 years. That's how it says in Tanakh. So there were people who remembered how the Nisach HaYayin was done, but the Talmid HaChamim at the beginning of the Bayi Sheni period decided that's not the right way to go. They hung a shingle on the new management, and they did the Nisach HaYayin differently. So the Sfasemis on the Gemara in Zvachim raises the question, meaning that for 410 years in the Bayis Rishon, they were never Yotze the Mitzvah of Nisach HaYayin properly, because they did it incorrectly. The Chachamim at the beginning of the Bayi Sheni period had a different way to do it. So the answer is no. The whole period of the Bayis Rishon, Shlaim HaMelech started it off, and then all those generations, they understood the Psukim one way, how to do Nisach HaYayin. At that time, that was the Psak Halacha, you follow the Chachamim. At the beginning of the Bayi Sheni period, that's Halacha The Rabbanim in the beginning of the Baisheni period understood the psukim regarding Nisach Hayayin differently. You have to do it differently. So in Halacha, in every generation, you're entitled to your opinion, even if it's in disagreement with those who preceded you, who are greater than you. We're not talking about repealing a rabbinic enactment. We're talking about understanding what the din is. So this is true even in the days of the Amoraim, have a right to disagree with the Tanoim. That's how the Rambam writes. So the Kesef Mishnah there at the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim raises the question, so how come the Gemara will often have Akasha against an Amora? How can an Amora come up with a din? Isn't it against all the Mishnayas? Isn't it against all the Brises? So the Gemara says, Tiyufta, Abgefrekt. He's wrong. Why is he wrong? He's entitled to his opinion. If Amoraim have a right to disagree with Tanoim, so why doesn't he have the right to disagree with all the Mishnayas and all the Brises? So the Kesef Mishnah answers, Anachinam, he does have a right to disagree. But that was the attitude that the Chachmei HaGemara had, the Amoraim had an attitude. They felt that there was a Yeridus Adoris. They felt that the Tanoim who preceded them were greater in Yerushamayim and greater in learning. So that most of them had the attitude, if I see all the Tanoim, nobody agrees with me, so then, and I can see the other opinion. I understand you can say this way, you can say that way. I think this way makes more sense. But if I see all the Tanaim say the other way, so they would usually give in. Once in a while, you would have Amoraim who would disagree with all the Tanaim, and they wouldn't give in. They would be so convinced that their Shita is right. So, Nachanami, if they're so convinced, we paskan like the Amoraim, we don't paskan like the Tanaim. That's what they quote. Rabbi Chana Vassman asked Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik Akasha, whenever the Gemara has a machlokes, Rabbi Yechanan, so the Gemara says the klal is Rabbi Yechanan, halachik Rabbi Yechanan. We always paskan like Rabbi Yechanan. So the Gemara says Rav was the first generation of Amoraim. Rav was a Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. He got smicha from Rabbi Yudah Nasi before he left Eretz Yisrael to go to Bavel. Rav and Shmuel both lived in Eretz Yisrael. They were learning Torah there. Then they both left to Bavel. There is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but there's a bigger mitzvah to establish yeshivas and chutz l'aretz that had catered to the Jewish community in Bavel. So they both left Eretz Yisrael, and they made big yeshivas in Bavel in two different cities. And the Gemara says in the beginning of Gittin, other places, after Rav came to Bavel, so Bavel became a big center of learning. Before Rav came to Bavel, it was like the Wild West. The Balabatim were religious, but they were ignorant of halacha, so they were making a lot of mistakes as far as Shmiras HaMitzvahs was concerned. So the Gemara will often, every so often, the Gemara will quote, Rav had an opinion, and then they ask, but Rav, it's in disagreement with all the Tanoim. How does he disagree with everybody? Gemara says, Rav Tanu Hu Palak. Rav had the status of a Tana. So there's a Tosfos in the first Perek in Ksubis and the Sugya of Sheva Brochas there. But Tosfos points out, you see from the Gemara, that Rabbi Yochanan didn't agree to that klal. Rabbi Yochanan thought that Rav was not a Tana. Rav did not have the right to disagree. Rav Tanu Hu Palig was under dispute. Rav held he had the status of a Tana, he had a right to disagree with all the Tanoim, and Rabbi Yochanan held not so. So Rabbi Chanan Rassaman asked Rabbi Chaim Akasha, whenever there's a machlokes Rav or Rabbi Yochanan, we assume halachic Rabbi Yochanan. So if Rabbi Yochanan says that Rav didn't have the status of a Tana, so he didn't have the right to disagree, so every time Rav disagrees with all the Tanoim, and the Gemara says, what right did he have to disagree, because Rav Tanu Hu Palak. So we should never paskan like Rav there. And every single time the Gemara has Rav Tanu Hu Palak, we always paskan like Rav. That was Rabbi Chana's kasha. So Rav Chaim answered him on the spot. He said, Zol Zayin, even if Rav was an Amora, an Amora also has the right to disagree with Tanoim. That's who he was invoking, that Kesef Mishnah, the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, that there is no rule, there is no halacha, Amoraim having the right to disagree with Tanoim. It was an attitude that they had. If they can see this side and that side in a shaila, and they think one way makes more sense, but then they see all the Tanoim adopt the other position, so they can understand the other position, so they'll give in to the other sheet. But if they can't see both sides, they think absolutely it doesn't make any sense one way. You have to go the other way. So the Amoraim have a right to disagree with the Tanoim. But that's Amoraim have a right to disagree with Tanoim up until the generation of Ravina Ravashi. After the generation of Ravina Ravashi, so then the Ramo writes in Choshen Mishpat and Simon Chafei that the Rambam lived in the 1500s, and he quotes those who lived before him, the 1400s, 1300s. They have a right to disagree with the Gaonim, even though the Gaonim were the heads of the yeshivas and had traditions from the days of the Amoraim. So he says, we have a right to disagree with the Gaonim, but we have no right to disagree. Ravina, Ravashi, Soifai Roa, we have no right to disagree with the Gemara. If the Gemara gives you a psak halacha, we can't reverse it. If Tosis gives a psak halacha, or the Gaonim give a psak, and someone in our generation thinks that they're wrong, so strictly speaking, he has a right to disagree if he's entitled to an opinion. He has a right to disagree halacha l'maisa. Why? Because from the days of Yeshua ben Nun until Ravina Ravashi, since the Torah Shabbat Bava was still being transmitted balpeh, so everybody al pidin had the same status of Bali HaMasorah. Masorah means transmission of the Torah Shabbat Peh, balpeh. After the days of Ravina Ravashi, when the Mishnayos were already written down, the Talmud Bavli wasn't written down until generations later in the days of the Gaonim. But the Mishnayos were written down in the days of Ravina Ravashi. So once the Mishnayos were being taught from a text, so from that time on, all of the people, we have a status of Chachmei HaMasorah, but a lower status, because our Masorah is not Torah Shabbal Peh, Baal Peh, it's Torah Shabbal Peh, Mitoch HaKsav. So from the days of Ravina Ravashi until now, including our generation, everyone has Al Pidin, the same status of Chachmei HaMasorah. From the days of Yeshua ben until Ravina Ravashi, everyone had that higher status. So within the same area, within the same historical period, a later Chacham has a right to disagree with an earlier Chacham. But we who live today have no right to disagree with a psak that appears in the Gemara. That's called Ravina Ravashi Sofei Ro, because that was the end of the period when the Torah Shabbat Peh was being transmitted Baal Peh in the full sense of Masor. So that's where Rav Moshe Soloveitchik thought, that's why the Rambam didn't write the whole Seder HaMasorah up until his own generation. He could have also done like the Meiri. The Meiri did a service, he gave us the history. But the Rambam wrote Halacha. Halachically, the Seder HaMasorah Bishlei Musa was from the days Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mitzvah Masorah Yeshua, from Yeshua to Ravina Ravashi, is 40 generations. After that is a lower level of Chachmei HaMasorah. So that's why those after Ravina Ravashi have no right to disagree with those who came before. That's Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's explanation of why the Rambam only gave the 40 generations and didn't write more. It's interesting. The Gemara has a klal. We're learning Chulin now, so the Gemara has an empiric kol habasar. I'm a David b'shem Amra, maybe Gula Lo'ilam. You're supposed to say over, the Mishnah has a din, and then they tell you who is the Tana who learned out that din from the Tanakh. So what's the significance of I'm a David b'shem Amra? So we usually assume we want to give credit where credit is due. So the Rambam left out, the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah never says, when he has a din, he doesn't say, this is Ravin, this is Abai, and this is Rabbi Yechanan, this is Reish Lakish, and this is Rabbi Akiva. He left out all the names. Hayitochen, isn't he in violation of Ayim Adav B'Shem Amrei? So the Rambam explains why he feels he's allowed to leave out the names. He says the whole reason why we insist on Ayim Adav B'Shem Amrei is that the listener should realize that we have a Masorah on this halacha. I'm not in making it up from thin air. Rabbi Akiva said it, Rabbi Yechanan said it, Abai said it, and they had a tradition going all the way back. So we should say the names of the scholars so the people who are listening, the audience who's listening, should realize that there's a Masorah on this din. So the Rambam writes, I wrote the whole Seder HaMasorah, the 40 generations from Yeshua ben Nun until Ravina Ravashi in the beginning, in the introduction to his Sefer, into the introduction to the Mishnah Torah. So everyone should know that every single din in my Mishnah Torah comes from the Chachmei HaMasorah, comes from the period before Ravina Ravashi. He quotes, the Rambam quotes dinim from post-Talmudic, from the days of the Gaonim. He'll write, and the Gaonim came up with the following idea. But all the things before the days of the Gaonim, all the things up until the Ravina Ravashi, he says, everything is a Masorah, and I'm telling you what to say to HaMasorah. So he feels that he satisfied the requirement of Vaymadav B'Shem Ramray by writing the whole Seder HaMasorah. It's a surprising position that the Rambam takes, that that's the whole reason for the din of Vaymadav B'Shem Ramray, because the Gemara learns it up in the Pasuk in the Megillah that Mordechai overheard Bigson Viserys plotting to kill Ahasuerus. And when he told it over to Ahasuerus, B'Shem Amra, in the name of Mordechai, that was maybe Gula Lo'ilam. So that later on, when Ahasuerus couldn't sleep at night, and they read the Sefer HaZechronos, and he said, was Mordechai rewarded for saving my life? So that's maybe Gula Lo'ilam. So it has nothing to do with Paskening Halachas, with a Masorah of Torah Shebal Peh. Don't you see the whole idea of Amar David B'Shem Rav is to give credit where credit is due? It's not because of. So how did the Rambam have a whole different understanding? We don't know. That's what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes that the idea of Amar David B'Shem Rav is that the listener should realize that everything that the halachas that we're saying are b'masorah. We're not making them up. Pirkei Avos really has five prokim in the Mishnayos, and the sixth perek is really a brisa. That's how it says the sixth perek starts off. Shana Chachamim b'Loshayin HaMishnah, Baruch Shebacha Behem u'Bim Mishnasam. The last perek is really a brisa. And the Vilna Gaon says the end of the fifth perek should really be in our editions on the Mishnayos. This is an earlier Mishnah before the very last. So the Vilna Gaon thinks it's a mistake. The very last Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in the fifth perek should be by us, it's moved up earlier than the end, but the Vilna Gaon says, no, that's supposed to be the end of the whole Pirkei Avos. The opening Mishnah quotes the Anshei Knesset HaGdola who had three mottos. So one of them was a very important one, Asei Siyog LaTorah. We should introduce Harchokas and Siyogim. The Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Chaf Aleph says that this idea is based on the Pasuk in Chumash, the concluding Pasuk in Parsha Zachri Mos, Shmatem is Mishmarti, Asum Mishmeres LeMishmarti. The Torah is encouraging us that we should Asei Siyog LaTorah. And it's not only the Mesillas Yeshayim points out, and you see from the Abbas de Ram Nassim, the Feirish like that, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, and you see from the Abbas de Ram Nassim like the Mesillas Yeshayim, that it's not only a guiding rule to the Bezdin. Asei Siyog LaTorah, the Bezdin should introduce Siyogim and Harchokas. No, it's each and every individual. If you teach in a university, in a Goyish university, so you're going to have certain problems which one who teaches in a Jewish university will not have. If you have an antique shop and someone else sells Judaica, so in an antique shop, you're going to have certain nisyonis that the one who has a Judaica store is not going to have. Each person, based on what he does for a living, what country he lives in, and what generation he lives in, has different nisyonis. So each person should make siyogim and harchokas for himself. Mesillas Yeshayim says that people sometimes argue the point and they say, no, I don't have to make siyogim. If the Torah would have wanted me to make a harchoka, to make a siyog, the rabbis would have introduced the siyog. So the Mesillas Yeshayim says that's not correct. Whatever siyogim, whatever harchokas the rabbis introduce, that's binding on all the Jewish people under all circumstances and all generations and all cultures and all societies and all continents. But if you, in your circumstance, if you see that you have certain yetzahara for something and you may fall in a certain area of halacha, each individual person should make his own siyog, say siyog latar. So the pashtus is that most of the siyogim were introduced during the period of the Bai Sheni. The Anshei Knesset HaGdola was a body that consisted of 120 chachamim, b'bahem kama nevim. Quite a few of them were prophets. And they were the ones who had this motto, Asei Siyog LaTorah. Pashtus is in the Bais Rishon, earlier, before the days of Anshei Knesset HaGdola, there weren't so many siyogim. The Gemara tells us that David HaMelech died on Shabbos, and the dead body is considered muktzah. So Shlomo HaMelech sent a message to the Chachamim, what can he do? His father is in the sun, and the body is going to decompose, and it's going to be a bizoyin ames. So you see that the Gemara has a tradition that the laws of muktzah, which are only midirabbana handling muktzah, Rashi holds a muktzah to din deraisa, that's muktzah lachila, but muktzah letiltol, handling muktzah is only a prohibition midirabbana, that's lacholadei, it's like that. So that din of tiltol muktzah was already in Bais Rishon. Then the Gemara says that Shlomo HaMelech introduced until the Sedayim, so there were a few dinim midirabbana. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah points out that the Chumash describes Rosh Hashanah differently in two different places. One place is described as Yom Teruah, a day of blowing shofar. It describes Rosh Hashanah as Zichron Teruah, a day on which we talk about Lahazakir, we talk about blowing shofar. So which is it? Is it a day that we actually do blow shofar, a day we talk about Tkiyah shofar? So the Gemara has a suggestion, maybe when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, then we don't blow shofar, we just talk about shofar. That's Zichron Teruah. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on the other 6 days of the week, then we actually blow shofar. So the Bavli rejects that. They say, what are you talking about? That's a Gzeira Derabba. That's a rabbinical prohibition. Not to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. Shema Yavirena Dalanamis, because certain people may forget and carry in the street. But that's not a din deraisa. How can it be? That's not pshat in the pasuk. So what does the taka mean, Zichron Teruah? So one of the earlier achronim from the 1700s, I think, not so early, okay. Well, an achronim from the 1700s and the Sefer Halachas Ktana says it's taka gzera de rabba, but Shema Yavirena was introduced by Moshe Rabbeinu. Already in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they had the din derabbanan that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you're not allowed to blow shofar. So the Balat, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, has a drasha in his Likutei Torah, in his collection of drasha's sermons for Rosh Hashanah. So he writes one line there. He says it's a dava pashut that that's not correct. That the Gzera de Rabba was introduced by Bayis Sheni. The Anshei Knesset HaGdola, they were the ones who had this motto, Asus Yog LaTorah. There were hardly any Gzeras de Rabbanon in the earlier generations. He says he can't believe it correct at all to say that that Gzera, that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you're not allowed to blow shofar, was introduced in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. He thinks that it's not correct. Anyway, this is the Mishnah. The Anshei Knesset HaGdola came up with this motto, and then they made them by Sheni period, and afterwards they made many, many, many Gzeras. What else did they say? Hamido Tamidim Harbei. So the Avos Rav Nosna explains, what does this mean? That for generations there was a dispute, should you be insistent that we only permit students to learn Torah in the yeshiva if it seems to be tocho kibaro, if it seems that the student is a holy tzaddik and he's a medaktik and mitzvahs, that the inside of his heart is, on the outside he appears to be a talmid chacham, it looks like his interest in learning, but the inside in his heart, we have to psychoanalyze every student who applies to learn in the yeshiva and to determine whether we really think he's a Yirei Shamayim. Should only allow students to learn in the yeshiva if they seem to be Mitzuyonim and Yirei Shamayim and so on. So that was a big debate, back and forth over the generations. So that's what the Avos Rav Nosna understands. Hamina Taminim Harbei, you should try to have as many students as you can. Otherwise, that they felt, you should not be insistent on Tocho Kibar. You should give everyone a chance to learn. Maybe they don't seem to be so pure and so religiously motivated to learn, but give them a chance. Let them learn in the yeshiva. Maybe they will turn out to be Yerei Shamayim. This was an ongoing debate even after the days of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, whether the yeshivas should only accept those who seem to be very pure Tocho Kibaro, or even others as well. Rav Soloveitchik used to comment, Ha'amidu Talmidim Harbe, you should try to train your students, not to brainwash your students. They should spit out everything that the Rebbe says, word for word, exactly the same. You have to shtel abek the Talmidim, you have to put them on their own 2 feet. They should be able to think on their own. And to encourage them, they should try to be open-minded. They don't always have to agree with the Rebbe. The Rebbe should give guidance what direction they should think. He should train them in thinking. But then they don't have to dafke agree with every single thing the Rebbe said. He thought Hamidu to put them on their own 2 feet. And then the third recommendation that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola gave was Hevim Mesunim Badin. So the commentaries explain Hevim Mesunim. Rishonim explain Hevim Mesunim Badin doesn't only mean in a din Torah. When you have a din Torah between Reuven and Shimon about an amount of money, that you should think it over seriously. Hevim Mesunim Badin goes on any psak. You shouldn't give a psak quickly. You should think about it a lot. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik always was the main speaker at the Chag HaSmicha every 2-3 years in the yeshiva. They had a Chag HaSmicha on Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan's yard site, Chaf Alef Adar. So Rav Soloveitchik, Dr. Belkin, used to speak for 5-10 minutes, and then he would introduce Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik would speak for an hour. So on different occasions, he would give instructions to the Rabbanim how they should act. So I remember on one occasion, he was telling them, when a balabas calls up on the phone with a shayla, you shouldn't give a psak right away. You should take down his number and look it up in Shulchan Aruch and then call him back. Even if you think that you remember the din, that's heaven mesunim badin. The answer on the spot, that on the snap of a finger, that's not right. Tell the balabas you got to look it up. Don't be embarrassed. Tell him you have to look up the din. And make sure you look it up. Make sure it says what you think that it says. A lot of times I have such a good memory, I remember things that never were written. I remember that it says in the Gemara XYZ, and it doesn't say that. I remember it says in Shulchan Aruch, and it doesn't say like that. So you have to check to make sure. Rav Soloveitchik also said that the Prima Godem, the Pischei Tshuva, and Yeridea quotes the Simer Resh Mem Beis, and the third Chelik Yeridea is about Hayro Asisa V'Heter, guiding principles in general about Rabbanim Paskening Shailas. So the Pischei Tshuva there and Yeridea quotes from the Prima Godem that we have a din, a person is not allowed to be Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabbi, it's not allowed to Paskin in the presence of his Rebbe. So today, who is the Rebbe? Who is Rabbi Muvok? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Muvok is the Rabbi. I learned in first grade, second grade, third grade. Every year I learned by a different Rebbe. So everyone is my Rebbe. So the one is the Rebbe Muvok. So who's Rebbe Muvok? Rebbe Muvok is the one, Rav Chachmasa Hemenu. So today, the Balei HaTosfos have such an expression. Rav Chachmasa is really not from a living Rebbe. Today, we have so many Svarim available. Rav Chachmasa is really the Svarim. It's not the living Rebbe. Before the Talmud Bavli, before the Mishnayos were written down, so the Rav Chachmasa would be from a living Rebbe. The Rebbe taught me most of what I know. But today, Rav Chachmasa is from written Svarim. So that's what the Prima Godem says. If a person has, a Balabas asks the Rabbi a Shaila, and he has a library full of Svarim, and he can open up the safe and look it up, and the kids of Shulchan Aruch, on the big Shulchan Aruch, or the Chayyadim, wherever he plans to look it up, or the Chachmasadim, and he doesn't look it up, that's called Meira Halacha Bifnei Rabbi, because the printed Svarim that he has in his library are really Bizman Hazeh, these are the Rabbi, that's the Rabbi Muvok. So that's why Rav Soloveitchik encouraged all the Mesmachim, that before they pass on any Shailas, they should write down the person's number, and then should say, I'm going to look it up in Shulchan Aruch. Then they should look it up, make sure that it says it, and then call the balabas later, because first of all, having misunim badin, don't be snappy to give the psak. And secondly, it's a b'china meira halacha bifnei rabbi. That was the beginning of Pirkei Avos, the opening Mishnah. This Shabbos is ready, the second perek. So the second perek, Rabbi Yudah HaNasi is referred to as Rebbe. It's interesting, Rabbi Yudah HaNasi is the one who edited the Mishnahs. Every so often, there's a Mishnah that quotes different opinions, and Rabbi Yudah HaNasi doesn't put in his own opinion. Take, for example, the opening Mishnah in Sanhedrin. It says, Didi Mamanis Bishlosha. The Tosefta quotes, and the Gemara in the beginning of Sanhedrin quotes that line from the Tosefta. Rabbi Yudah HaNasi disagrees. He holds that Didi Mamanis Bechamisha, that a Beis Din for a Din Torah has to consist of a minimum of 5 Rabbanim, not enough 3. So on the bottom of the page, in the Tosefta, the commentary says, Kakasha, for Rabbi Yudah HaNasi is the one who edited the Mishnahs. Why didn't he put in his opinion in the Mishnahs? So they quote from the Sefer HaKrisus, that's from the days of the Balei HaTosfos, the Rashmi Kinan. He says, Rabbi Yudah HaNasi knew that his opinion had been totally rejected, so why should he force his opinion on everybody? He knows it was rejected. He insisted he felt the din more correct is to have a Beis Din of 5. But since his opinion was not accepted at all, so he left it out from the Mishnah. He was honest. He didn't. A lot of times you have a Talmid Chacham. He knows that he's outvoted, but he puts out the Sefer and he writes his opinion as if that's the accepted opinion. That's not right to fool a public into believing that his is the majority opinion, even though he's convinced of his opinion. That's intellectually dishonest. So it's interesting that that Rashi Mekinen explains a lot of different Mishnayos, where you have, we know from the Gemara that Rabbi Yudah HaNasi doesn't agree with what it says in the Mishnayos, and he didn't quote his own opinion. Anyway, here he put his, he probably didn't refer to himself as Rebbe, probably after he passed away, so they probably touched up the text of the Mishnah. A person should always take a position, the Derech Yishorah, Teferis la Adam, Teferis la Yaseha. Does he feel comfortable with his plan? Does he feel that he's doing something wrong? Then he shouldn't do it. Even if everybody thinks that it's the right thing to do. Or let's say he thinks it's the right thing to do, but it'll be misunderstood by the public. So that's not right. It has to be Teferis la Adam, Teferis la Yaseha. The public should think that he's doing the right choice, and he should be convinced that he's doing the right thing. The next line in the Mishnah is very important. Observe the mitzvah kala kavachamura. Some people make up their minds, we can't observe all the mitzvahs, so let's at least try to observe the more important mitzvahs and ignore the less important mitzvahs. What do you mean, the more important mitzvahs? How do you know which are more important than less important? So the Mishnah says, we can figure out which is more important. The Gemara a lot of times discusses. And the fact that on this Avera there's a more serious punishment than on the other Avera, that shows that that Avera is more chomer than that. That mitzvah is more chomer than that. There is a way to determine which mitzvah is more chomer than which. We have Midrash HaTorah and the Dreshes Behem. But to be medactic more in the more chomer mitzvah, that's what the Mishnah said, that's not right. Abzor b'mitzvah kala kavach hamura. Why? Because as far as schar is concerned, the schar, the reward for fulfilling mitzvahs, doesn't depend on the severity, on the importance of the mitzvah. Sometimes you get more reward for fulfilling a less important mitzvah, because the Mishnah has in Pirkei Avos that lefum tzaira agra, the reward, agra means reward, the reward for observing mitzvahs is given in accordance to how much difficulties that I have to overcome to observe the mitzvahs. So if it's more difficult, if I had to take care of more difficulties to observe the mitzvah, then I'm going to get more reward. And a lot of times there's a mitzvah that's not as important as other mitzvahs in the scheme of the Tariq mitzvahs. There's a hierarchy which mitzvahs are more important than which. We can figure it out based on Midrash HaTorah and the Drash Hashem. But historically, there's a certain mitzvah that's more important than others. Take, for example, the Jewish people who were in Mitzrayim, and they were redeemed, they were gezeichet to the gula because Lashinu Shmam, Lashinam, and Malbusham. They maintained Loshna Kodesh. So the Rambam says, the Rambam writes over here in the Pirush HaMishnah, speaking Loshna Kodesh is a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah kala. It's not from the most important mitzvahs, from the Tariag mitzvahs. That's a chelik of Talmud Torah, to speak Loshna Kodesh. And the Rambam quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, when the child is old enough, when a baby is old enough to start speaking, so the father should teach him the daber b'loshna kodesh, to speak in loshna kodesh. So that there are bigger mitzvahs to observe Shabbos, to observe kashrus, to observe taras hamishpacha, bigger mitzvahs. But if you live among the mitzriim, if you live in galus, and there's a concern of assimilation, then nationalistic mitzvahs are more important historically. So loshinu l'shoinam, they spoke Hebrew, loshinu shmam, they retain Jewish names. And Shaloshinam Albusham, they dressed like Jews, they didn't dress like Goyim. So the nationalistic mitzvahs were more important to retain the identity of the Jewish people. They should stay as they were standing out. Everybody knew that these people were Jewish. They wouldn't get mixed up with the others. Then Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi also encourages, the Gemara tells us that when it comes to learning Torah and fulfilling mitzvahs, a person, the world doesn't come to an end, not so terrible. If a person does a mitzvah, he learns, bottom line, he knows that this is a mitzvah, and he's doing the mitzvah, even though his ulterior motive for doing the mitzvah is really shalol lishma. But when it comes to askanas, there is no delineated act. See, shaking a lulav, wearing tefillin, sitting in sukkah, there's a maisa misuyam, there's a delineated act that constitutes the mitzvah. So if you did that act, you go to the mitzvah. Some even hold the mitzvah saying tzvichas kavana, a question aloch ala maisa, how we paskin. Even if you didn't have kavana, lot says maybe you're also yotze. But when it comes to askanas, comes to Tzochet Tzibah, you're going to participate in a protest rally or something, or you're going to go tumble with the governor or with the mayor with the president of the United States or something. That's askanas. Comes to askanas, there's no pu'ula misuyemis. There's no ma'isa ha-mitzvah. So the only way that it'll be considered a mitzvah is if you're doing it l'shem shamayim. But if you're doing it for your own purposes, then b'chlal it's not a mitzvah. Then you're not in fulfillment of anything at all. Mishnah is, all the Mishnahs are very important. Mishnah, Atifash Minatzibur. Atifash Minatzibur, the Torah was given in the Bichas HaTor that we recite every day. Visa Shabbach HaBanim Kolam, Penasalan is Tairasai. The Rabban Shalom gave the Torah to the Jewish people as a nation. It wasn't given to individuals. So a person always has to identify with the Tzibur. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Tshuva about the people who are going to lose Olam Haba, it's difficult for them to do Tshuva. So one of them is Aparish Midarkei HaTzibur. So the Rebbe asks, what did he do? What do you mean, what's the Avera that he did? What did he do? Was he Avera Bezara? So he already spoke about that. So the answer seems to be in the Rambam. No, Aparish Midarkei HaTzibur is in itself. That itself is an Avera. The Torah was given to Klal Yisrael as a nation, and the person has to go be a field that he's a member of the nation. If they're having a building campaign in the shul, and everybody's davening in shul, and he, Emach Shabbos Fazich, as the Yiddish expression is, he keeps 100% all the mitzvahs, but he keeps to himself. He doesn't participate when the community is doing something together. We're not talking Reform community, conservative, talking Orthodox. So that itself is a serious aver, perish menat zibur. In the Haggadah, that's what we say, kenega abba barim dibur Torah, the Rosha says, moha barim zos lachem. So we use the expression, lefisha hosi osatzma menat klal, kofa b'ikar. So some interpret, maybe that's what it means, hosi osatzma menat klal, doesn't necessarily mean, moha barim zos lachem, why are you doing the mitzvahs? I don't believe in these mitzvahs. That's taka kaifa b'ikar. But even if he does do the mitzvah, if he's parish midarki atzibur, he doesn't go along with the tzibur. That itself is kaifa b'ikar. That itself is not right. We'll just close with one more Mishnah Tes in Perek Sheni. The Mishnah has him lamad the Torah harbe. Unfortunately, every so often you see a Talmid Chacham who's very arrogant. He feels that he's greater than everybody else because he's so much more learned than the others. So he looks down upon everybody else because they're not as learned as he is. So this is a terrible thing. Soloveitchik explained, he has a separate published essay on this topic. That we believe that the reason why the Rambam lists off the 13 Yikari Hamunah, so one of the Yikari Hamunah is that we believe that the Satara laws are imochlefes, the laws of the Torah never change, even though everything in the world keeps on changing, but the laws of the Torah are immutable. Why such, and this is in our generation, this is the main difference between the Orthodox and the other groups, that the Orthodox feel, even some of the other groups do believe in Torah Min HaShemayim. But they believe that the laws of the Torah can change, and we insist the laws of the Torah are immutable. Why such an obstinate insistence that the laws of the Torah are immutable? So Rav Soloveitchik quotes that both Rav Chaim Balozhiner, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, the Misnagid, and the Baal HaTanya, the leader of the Hasidus movement, they both lived the same generation, Baal HaTanya with Rav Chaim Balozhiner, they both give the same explanation in their Sforim. Chaim Balozhiner wrote to Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, and the Tanya by the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. So they both say the reason why the laws are immutable is because we believe that the Torah is not merely a collection of laws. Behind all of the 613 mitzvahs is a whole, if you put everything all together, it's a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We really can't understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. One of the philosophers, some of the philosophers from the Middle Ages wrote a Lashon Iliadites, if I would understand what Elikus is, I would be God himself. The only one who really understands Elikus is the Bashlam. It's Lemaila Mehasagas Ben Aaron. We can't really understand. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a description, Derech Mashal, of what Elikus is all about. The Mashal is the Torah. You put together all the 613 mitzvahs, that's a description of Elikus. And Rashi, in his commentary on Chumash and Parshas Mishpatim, on the pasuk that it says, one who kills b'shogeg has to run away to the Ari Miklot, it wasn't my fault. It was Min HaShamayim that they caused this accident to happen, that I killed the other person. So on that pasuk, Rashi quotes a Medrash. The Medrash interprets the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, referring to the Mashal HaKadmoni, Kashiyayim HaMashal HaKadmoni, Merishoy Meitzei Resha. What is the Mashal HaKadmoni? So the Medrash explains the Torah, the Chumash, Chamishu Chumshe Torah, is a Mashal HaKadmoni, a Mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean, a Mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Chafetz Chaim writes in one of his Svarim in Shem Olam, first of all, it means it's a Mashal authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We believe that the Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter. The Gemara will be medayik dinim from the fact that a word is written malei achaser, the fact that you have an extra phrase in the pasuk. So we believe every word, every letter was dictated directly to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Torah is authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But more than that, Chafetz Chaim says it's a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, photograph balaz. Just like he says, if I've never seen the president of the country, but I'm walking in the capital city, and I see a man, I've seen the president's photograph in the newspapers, and I see this man walking in the street with two Secret Service agents to his right and to his left. So obviously, that's the president of the country. I can identify him based on the photograph. So he says, the Torah, the Taryag Mitzvah, is a mashal HaKadmoni, a mashal of the Rabban Shalom, who is the ancient one. The Rabban Shalom was there before the world was brought into existence, before anything came into existence. He was there. Ani Rishon v'Ani Achron. The Rabban Shalom was there before he brought the world into existence. So, and the pasuk says in Navi, everything in the world keeps on changing. The scientist, the physicist claims that everything is reverting, it's on the way to revert back to Tohu Vavohu, whatever it is, but everything keeps on changing. The human body is changing, and the animals are changing, and the grass is changing, and the eggs are changing, all the vegetables, everything keeps on changing. The only one and only thing that doesn't change, Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi, Hashem's essence doesn't change. So because Hashem doesn't, the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change, and the Torah is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Mele, the laws of the Torah cannot change. There's a famous passage by the Maharshal, in the Yamshal Shloima, Yam Baba Kama, and Daf Lamed Ches, in Yeridea, in Chele Gimel, in Simen Kufnum Zayin is the second Chele Yeridea, in Hilchus Avodah Zarah, not Chele Gimel. So it says there that with respect to Avodah Zarah, Gil Arayis, and Shvichah Zamah, the din is Yehoreg Val Yavar. With respect to other Averis, only if it's Befarhesia B'Shas Hashmad. So on the bottom of the page, in Simen Kufnum Zayin, in Yeridea, so the commentaries refer you to this Yamshal Shloima in Baba Kama and Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara tells a story that the Roman government sent two representatives to the Tanoim, to the Chachamim. They wanted them to teach him Kala Torah Kula, and they stayed there for a while, and they were about to leave, and they said, they're satisfied with the whole Torah except for a couple of dinim here and there. Well, we seem to discriminate against the Nochrim. We seem to discriminate against the Nochem, but they were taken by the rest of the Torah. It seems to be a decent Torah, so they're not going to master it to the Roman government. And then the Gemara doesn't quote the rest of the story. The Rishonim has the rest, that they promised the Rabbanim that they're not going to master to the Roman government, but the Rabban Shalom didn't trust them. So he caused them, when they were traveling back to Rome by boat, they forgot these three dinim that they were unhappy about. The Babylon only quotes the one din, Shosho Yisol, Shenagach Shosho Lakam, and so on. But the Rishonim quotes three dinim that they were not happy about. So on the way on the boat back, they forgot it. And when they came back to Rome, they gave the report. Everything is very nice. The Jewish religion is very nice. So the Maharshal asks, how can it be that they learned Kol HaTorah Kula? We have students who learn in yeshivas all their lives. They never came across these dinim in Maseches Avodah Zarah and in Baba Kama. These are detailed dinim. And didn't the Tanoim realize that they can make a pogrom if they're going to tell them the real din? So the whole story is not to be understood. The Torah Shebaal Peh was not written at that time. It was all oral. So why didn't they why didn't they just tell a lie and say that Halacha doesn't distinguish between a Yisrael and a Nachri? So the Yamshal Shlomo thinks that not that they came to learn Kol HaTorah Kula from Brochus to Uktzin. They came with a list of pointed questions, like when Napoleon had his Sanhedrin, so he asked the Rabbanim a list of particular questions about ribbis. Can you charge ribbis to a Nachri? Can you charge ribbis to a Yehudi? Specific questions he has to know whether the Jewish religion discriminates between Nochrim and Yisraelim. So he thinks, the Mashal thinks, that was the Maisa Shohoya by the Roman government. They sent representatives to try to find out whether in the Jewish religion is there any discrimination. And even though the Tanaim realized that that's what they want, they felt they're not allowed to misrepresent. Even though there's a hashash to make a pogrom, they're not allowed to misrepresent the halacha, because misrepresenting the halacha means that you're describing God differently from what he really is, and that's how it is. When you change the description of Elokus, that's an issue of Avodah Zarah. Every religion is different from the other religion based on their animamins. And by us, the animamins are the Taryag Mitzvahs. That's a description of Elokus. Yeah, that's why the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah is Moshe Lakama. Torah is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we mention on Pesach when we bench Tal, and on Shmini Atzeres when you bench Geshem. So it says you're changing to Ori Hashem and changing the description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if a person, let's say, is not davening in shul, he's sick in the hospital or he's home, he can't go to shul. So he shouldn't change to say Mashiach V'roch Merit HaGeshem before he knows that in shul they changed. Because to change to Ori Hashem, to change the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, smacks from Avodah Zarah. If you're describing God differently, that's a different religion. And if you're saying a different halacha, that's what the Marshal, you say the din is different, that's also a different, you're describing God differently. Because the Torah is a Moshe Lakama, it's a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why the Yochid cannot change to Ori Hashem. This is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to change the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need reshus from the Tzibur. The Yochid can't change. The Tzibur, we're not choshed that the Tzibur is going to change to Avodah Zarah. So you need the reshus of the Tzibur to change the Nusa. That was the issue this year, where there was no minyan in the shul. There were minyanim somewhere in Borough Park, yeah, but that's not my minyan. I daven over here. I daven in Yeshiva. I daven in Broyers. So that's not my minyan. So that's the shaila. How can we switch to Morid Atol? There was no hachroza in the Tzibur. And you can only change to Ari Hashem if the Tzibur together changes. So that's why my suggestion was over Pesach that everyone who davens Musaf should say Morid Atol, even if you're minig all summer long, is that you don't say Merit Atol. Nusach Ashkenaz, you don't say Merit Atol. But this time we're not going to have the Tzibur making the Hachraza. Tzibur either means the Shamas and Shul or the Chazan and the Chazaras Hashatz. Shamas and Shul before Musa makes an announcement, or the Chazan says, or the Tzibur together says, Ibench Tal, before you start the Musa, or in the middle of Musa, whatever, the Koyach of the Tzibur is to change. This year we didn't have any Tzibur. Our Tzibur wasn't meeting. Someone else's Tzibur in Borough Park or in Williamsburg, but our Tzibur wasn't meeting. So that's my thought. Everyone should make up together. We're all going to say Morid Atal in Musa, but that's going to be the Hachrasas HaTzibur. I'm not doing it on my own. I'm doing it together with the whole community. We should all spend time this week and every week going through Pirkei Avos. It's not only for a program for the summertime, Pirkei Avos. It's a program for life. These Mishnayos are very important. And it's called Avos because everything is in Tanakh. Everything has a makom in Tanakh. Everyone should have a good Chodesh and a good Yar.